Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk more with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com.
Best Brewers coverage. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by Concordia University Wisconsin Veterans Service Department. Dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. Go to cuw.edu/veterans. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline in St. Louis, where he had to watch that debacle last night. Adam McAlvey now joining us. Adam, how you doing?
Woo! Yeah, we were multitasking, too. We had the score of the Bucks game up, hitting refresh, seeing what was going on. So congratulations to them. I hope everybody has a great big hangover this morning.
I think a lot of people do. And if you're a Brewers fan, you probably have a little bit of a hangover yourself, wondering what the hell did you just witness? That's not the performance you were hoping for, and not the major league debut as a starter you were hoping for. And in addition to that, a lot of people now questioning the pitching staff. At what point do you say, okay, enough, you can't let these games continually go by the wayside, and you got to start making some moves?
Well, that's the question. And, I can only tell you what the outlook is inside the clubhouse and front office, and it's in the story today. I talked to David Stearns and Craig Counsell after the game last night and asked them sort of big picture whether they have to reassess, whether they made the right call about what they have in terms of these mostly these young arms in the starting rotation. I think their outlook is, they made this decision to go at these young guys. They think there is tremendous upside there, that if given the opportunity to pitch, they are going to be really good, and this is a playoff contending team with those young guys in the rotation. It's not happened so far, and, I mean, the numbers are right there. I laid them out in the story. Zach Davies is being very helpful right now in keeping things from looking really ugly, because he's been extremely good going into his start tonight. And the question is, at what point do you have to pivot and try something different when the decision that you made isn't panning out? All I can tell you is they're not there yet. I can't tell you exactly when that changes, because that's the decision of David Stearns and Craig Counsell. But they continue to espouse confidence in the staff they have cobbled together, and in giving opportunity to the young players. And I think that includes Adrian Hauser, because he was certainly, he wasn't on the opening day roster, but he was certainly part of the plan coming in. And that was a disappointing performance yesterday. The Brewers went from getting perfect gamed to a 3-3 game in the fifth inning, and then Hauser gave it right back, left a curveball way up to Paul Goldschmidt, who hit another homer. So it was a disappointing performance for Hauser that fits into a pattern of disappointing performances by these young guys.
I guess the biggest argument I'm getting is, they're the small market and their budget and this and that. And the one thing that bothers me is when I sat there and we asked everyone, we asked Craig, we asked David, we asked Rick Schlesinger, we said, will money be the object that stands in the way of going out and getting someone? And they all said no, that if we believe that this guy is going to help us, that this is going to maybe stop the bleeding or maybe give us the addition that we need to put us over the top, that we're going to go do that. Do you see them saying, this year we'll throw caution to the wind, we're going to go ahead and make a move, whether it's Keuchel or Kimbrel or both or whatever? Do you see them doing something like that, or is this still going to be, we have to manage ourselves via the small market mentality?
No. I think the small market mentality is out the window. I mean, they are not operating right now as a small market team. Their payroll is right in the middle of the pack. And, I don't think you can accuse. I think the people who are accusing them of being cheap are missing the mark. I also think that the people who say they made $67 million or whatever number Forbes put out there why don't they spend some of that $67 million? I think people are smart enough to know that that's wrong. I think that's just airing frustration on social media, because everybody saw the images of spring training. Everybody knows.
They've invested the money, yeah.
Everybody's seen the upgrades at Miller Park. They've heard about what's going on in the Dominican. They've seen the investing in the other players they brought in, Kane and Yelich, investing in those guys. And I don't think people really believe that there's a vault of $67 million sitting there that they're refusing to sign to spend on Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrel. But the other thing is there is a limit. There is a limit. And if you want to make a move, if you want to really throw these chips all in, and do you want to do that on, I guess the question is, do you want to do that on April 25th or whatever the date is? The answer so far, again, from inside the front office is no, that this is not the time to do that. Baseball is a funny game in that it's played with an everyday urgency. And here in Milwaukee, the people have seen how it comes down to one game. So these games are all really important. But at the same time, it requires this long view and this patience, that sometimes that patience can be rewarded in the long run, and you come out ahead in the end if you stick by your original evaluations of the players you've got. And if you stick through them through bad periods, I'm talking about, you know, Woodruff and Peralta and Burns and Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar, you come out ahead in the end if you stick by the evaluations that led you to build the team the way you built them. And that's, again, I don't know the right or wrong answer. I'm certainly not saying the people who think it's time to go out and make changes are wrong, because the numbers are certainly smacking you in the head right now. But I'm just telling you where my sense of where David Stearns in particular is at, that he is not, that the answer to him is not signing a bunch of guys and making a bunch of changes. The answer to him right now is trying to see if they can get through this first before you start going to that end. Now, look, I'll say one thing about an addition. I think Gio Gonzalez is a guy that makes sense. I don't think the investment would be, really franchise changing. He's now a free agent. David Stearns won't say that, no, they're not going to do it. Been there, done that. He basically says he can't comment either way. He's in a situation. It's a tough situation for a GM and doesn't want to say something, and then he doesn't rule it out. And I don't mean to jump to a conclusion that says that means they're going to do something with Gio, but I think he's a guy who at least makes sense to look at that could come in and kind of augment your staff, give you a little bit of stability, at least a guy that you can count on to give you five decent innings every fifth day. I think that could help right now where they try to stabilize the rest of those spots.
What is the level of concern with, say, Arcia and Braun and Shaw and Aguilar right now, who just have not been able to get consistent hits and get on base consistently?
Yeah, look, it's this period of the season where you look up on the scoreboard and you see these bad batting averages and everybody, freaks out. But again, I think with them, you have to look at what they've done before and let it guide you to what they are capable of doing now. That's another really frustrating concept to people who see losses go on the books and think that they're squandering opportunity early. But again, there are tons of opportunity, there are tons of examples in this game where if you stick with a guy, you're paid off in the end. I mean, this is the extreme example, but remember Paul Goldschmidt at this time last year?
Yep.
And the D-backs? And it was like, oh my God, Paul Goldschmidt has lost his ability, and people in Phoenix were, even with Paul Goldschmidt, people in Phoenix were freaking out. And he ends up being a top 10 MVP finisher again. So, look, I think in the case of Jesus Aguilar, they have a really good foil to him in Eric Thames, who's a left-handed hitter. They face a lot of right-handers. there's reasons, you know, right in front of you to play Eric Thames a little bit more right now. And I sort of expect that they will. But Craig Counsell, I asked him about this yesterday, and Craig Counsell said that's less about getting production from that spot, or it's as much about getting production from that spot right now as it is trying to figure out how do we get Jesus Aguilar to produce, because they view him as so important to the puzzle of this offense. And they think that, you know, whether it's at the level it was during the first half last season or not, even if it's something close to that, that he can be a really productive player for them, a really productive hitter, a good enough first baseman, and just a big part of the team. And how do they access that is the question. And the answer is not, you know, goodbye Jesus Aguilar, we're going to play Eric Thames for the rest of the year. The answer is trying to find the right combination to get both guys producing and again, get a little bit out of Jesus Aguilar's bat. That's the one spot where they have a really good answer behind him. I know people will make the argument for Travis Shaw because of the infielders they have in the minor leagues. But Shaw, too, this is a 30-plus homer guy two straight years. Look at the OPS. Just look at the production there. That's in there. It's not been there so far this season, but they are going to continue to try to get it because that's too important a player to steady a contributor in terms of the big picture year to year to just, you know, say goodbye and move on.
Yeah, and last night, it's very rare you're going to get 0-for-7 from the top spots in the lineup as well between Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich.
I will say that it's been exposed a couple of times in the last few days of when a team contains Christian Yelich, this offense is not very good
right
now. And that runs totally contrary to their evaluation of this team going into the year. And I think it's another example of you need to trust what led you to make the decisions you made to build the team in the face of this early season struggle. And I believe they are going to press forward with the belief that this is going to be a good offense, 1 to at least 7, that they are going to produce. And it's just a matter of grinding it out through these periods where there's spots in the order where you're not getting any production. And to resist the urge to think, and this is this is what we all think in the press box, and I think people think on their armchairs and maybe in radio studios too. The answer is always change something. When something's going bad, the answer is always change something, right? Fire somebody, release somebody, make a trade, sign a player, because that's our snap judgment. That's really easy to do when you're not the ones making the decisions that are going to impact the rest of the season. When you're in David Stern's shoes, you have to look at it a little bit differently. And again, all I can do from my spot, I'm really trying to keep opinions out of it. Just try to share a little bit about his thinking right now. And again, his thinking right now is that this is a good team. It's in a period where it's not pitching well, and there's spots in the order that aren't hitting well against the toughest part of their schedule for the full season. And he right now is more in a ride it out mode than a blow it up mode in April. And I don't think that should really be surprising if we're logical about it.
Hey, Adam, I know I got to run. I'm way over time here, but just in a 30-second synopsis, has there been any muttering of Lee Tunnell or Derek Johnson?
No, honestly, I haven't heard it. And I think it's fair, especially Derek Johnson was a very big part of the success of this team. You're seeing these guys throw tons of fastballs for a while, most in the league. I think that's all fair to look at. But if you're talking about inside the organization, absolutely not. I think Chris Hook is a guy who's been in the organization for a very long time, very well respected. And I just have a feeling that by the end of the year, he's going to be, you know, lauded more than he is criticized, just like Derek Johnson was.
Always good, Adam. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Appreciate it.
All right, see ya.
There you go, Adam at CalvaryBrewers.com, MLB.com, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.